Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? What's up, Minnesota? What's up around the world? What's up in this country of ours in the United States of America? Welcome to Minnesota State Street Truth to the People blog that gives a coronavirus update. We started this to make sure that we get information out to the community to let them know what was going on with the virus, with this deadly virus. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we continue to see the curve where it slows down. But just over the last 2 days of April 30th, May 1st, over 5,000, almost 5,000 people died in the USA. And so when they talk about it tempering down, when you look at the numbers around the world, over 5,000 people have died of this a coronavirus in the last 2 days in the United States of America. So when while they are reopening things, it's dangerous for everybody around the country. I just with saying prayers here from Minnesota as we could continue to fight this virus here in Minnesota. I always start off with the update of the numbers of cases of the coronavirus in the world today. It's over 3 million cases, 3,472,000 cases, and over 244,000 deaths in the world from the coronavirus. And that's how deadly it is. It's hitting all over the world, hitting us the hardest in the U.S. And now President Trump is talking about what China did, but we knew China was over there in October, November. And if you go back on these shows I've been doing, you'll see I've been saying they knew about this since October and November in the the World Disease Control. They knew this was coming. And then in January and February, when they were trying to tell the president of the United States this virus is a killer, that's and then he let it go. He said, ain't nobody died in the U.S. in January and February. Well, since he said that in, at the end of February, from March until this date of May of 3rd that we're at today, over 66,000 people have died, and we have 1,134,000 cases with 66,000 deaths in the U.S. since President Trump said it wasn't no problem in January and February, and didn't do anything, didn't put anything in place. And that's where we end up with 66,000 people dead in the United States of America because we didn't act. And we got to say we didn't act. And we got to figure out why, even though the Trump administration did it, why didn't the Democratic administration say something, or what? That's what we'll find out later when they're through the investigation. So that's just a crisis right there. And here in Minnesota, we have over 6,000 cases, 6,600 cases in Minnesota with 419 fatalities. Most of them are in healthcare facilities. The most contaminated area with are the prisons, are the meatpacking plants, and are the healthcare facilities with our elders in the state that's taking a big bad hit for no reason of their own. And the sad thing about that is sometimes people can't go see their parents during this virus. You can't go see your parents. So it's just a sad thing, and that's why when I look at President Trump talk about this, we're going to reopen. It's going to be better than ever. At least we didn't get to 100,000 deaths. That's what our president said. You know, this is the president that told some of the states, you on your own if you don't, if I help you. This is what he said. If I help you, then you got to give me something back. this is our president. So yeah, you could say anything. I watch politics, but to see a president say that to other states, that you can, if I help you, I need something back from you, while people are suffering and dying, especially in New York and New Jersey and those places like that. It's one of the saddest things I've seen in our country. I've never seen it, at this point here. But I know we had worse presidents because a lot of presidents had us under slavery. So it ain't that they can't be the worst, but then they had us under slavery talking about God, you know. So the hypocrisy of what's going on now is devastating. But what I say to us in Minnesota, because I know this can go, it can reach anywhere, this show can reach anywhere, what I say to the ones in Minnesota is what we're trying to do, what we're trying to do as a state, what we're doing as a community to fight back. And one thing I worry about African Americans right now, because we're in a state that we can't that they just don't respect African Americans, and this comes from political people and everything as we try to fight this virus. This is a tough time, and I'm worried about what happens after the virus. So that's as I fight about the virus and give the numbers and tell you how serious it is, that I think about what we're doing, and I think about people right now are starting to come out, and they don't have a strategy in Minneapolis. They don't have a strategy in Minnesota that can help with what's going on. We still got violence going on. We got a couple of deaths in St. Paul. The people are shooting each other. We had a knife and gunfight in Minneapolis. I'm just concerned that the country gonna open up halfway, and that means only half the people who can go out to the club, can go into the restaurant, can go get served, and then what's the other half gonna do? You know, so when I'm looking at this now, we have to come together and get information to our community, and we have to do different things. With our kids and activity. I hope you checked out the show KMOJ at 1 o'clock with all the people that's active and still trying to help essential do essential work in this crisis time, that we recognize them. And they did such an outstanding job today on KMOJ at 1 o'clock on that show. And we're going to continue to try to interview people like everyday people, the ones that do have a passion. Everybody doesn't have a passion to help others, but we do in our community. No matter who you are, you got that compassion. It's just, what do you use it for? Do you use it in a power position to hurt people, or do you try to bring everybody together? And that's what I'm trying to continue to do. And that's why now with Truth to the People, starting after this week, starting on Tuesday, we'll be doing two shows a week at 6 o'clock under Truth to the People. It'll be Zoom, and we're going to get you the best people online to tell you what's going on and see how what you can do to help. And so that's what we're planning on. And so I got some guests going to call in. Brother Thomas Berry supposed to call in and say what's happening on their thing with Black Civic Network and where they at on about reparation and repair. If he calls in, we'll talk to him about that. I'm going to talk to Alicia about the community organizer. I say one of our best community organizers up and coming. When I say community organizer, it's because she do that on her spare time, and she do more work than a lot of organizers do. But she's the ED over at Corcoran, so she got her own work to do. But I love people like what Alicia does, the ones that can still participate and help in the struggle. And also I think Alicia is on the line with a Mother's Love. And she and the work they are doing at a Mother's Love, And before I go into some local stuff, I want to say yesterday I said on Facebook Live that Hennepin County and Ramsey County got $317 million. I thought they got it apiece. I looked at the numbers and know they had to split that $317 million. So that's like $158 million apiece for Hennepin and Ramsey County. That's what they got to help with this COBRA. But it doesn't matter because we haven't got $1 million. We haven't got $500,000 together to deal with communication and deal with all the things that Lisa's team is doing with like a mother's love. Because I've seen them at Pastor Jeff yesterday handing out food. They had tons of food. And they do it every day at McAfee. And I'm just thinking we get Lisa in and ask her to give us an update on what they doing, still fighting for resources, but they continue to work. Lisa, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line now. I'm on the line.
Hey, can you say what's some things, just a shout out some of the first, thank your team and some of the members for doing that great show on KMOJ today at 1 o'clock. But talk about where we at right now, Lisa, where in this fight to try to deal with the pandemic and deal with what's coming up that some elected officials don't seem to know is coming.
Well, I'll tell you, Al, one of the great things that's been happening for Mother's Love since the COVID shutdown is that we've been able to create more partnerships. And we struggled with creating those partnerships before this shutdown. But now, you know, we are reaching across the aisle and talking to people in the Sheriff's Department. We did a great initiative with the Hennepin County Sheriff's to get masks out into the community Thursday. And then we've been in contact with Kelsey Dawson from the county. We've just been reaching out across the aisle. Coach McKenzie's been just a strong supporter of ours out there. And most of the help we're getting in resources and funds are coming from the actual people living in the communities that we do boots on the ground work with. So, I want to send a shout out to Reverend McAfee. He makes sure that my team is there, that they're working, that they're fed while they're there. He made sure we had masks. I'll send the same shout out to Nakima Levittown for making sure that we had masks with our team. And Kevin Aldwick from his shop in North Store in North Minneapolis for making sure. But I really want to send a belated happy birthday out to Pastor Jeff over there in Gethsemane. He'll laugh because I'll never say the name right. But, Al, I really do want to send a shout out to him because he always makes sure that my team have what they need. I mean, he just really takes good care of a mother's love in the community. But my biggest thanks is to you for keeping our name out there and letting people know the work we're doing. I mean, you do that with all Boots on the Ground organizations, so I thank you. But I really, really, really want to say thank you to Reverend McAfee and Pastor Jeff. I can't thank those two men enough for helping us make sure that we're feeding people and getting the needs of the people met. I haven't seen anybody in my lifetime work as hard as these two men have been working in the community with this COVID shutdown. And I really found out they've been doing this for all along, but you can really see their work with the COVID shutdown.
And Lisa, what about now we're getting to a place where they're talking about opening things up. Nobody is following that rule. They said they wanted to make sure the cases were going down for 2 weeks. People are panicking a lot when you some areas in our community, people just how do they survive this? They're not going to stay in the house. What is a mother's love thinking at this time about, it's going to be hard to make people stay in the house in 80 degrees weather?
Right. I think the issue for our community is just like nothing in the past has been given into our community. Nothing has been given since Corona, and nothing will be given after Corona. So you go and you take down the hoops and you close all the parks and the schools are closed. There's no summer school. There's no pools open. So in a nutshell, the black community get nothing again. We've been trying to get a youth center over there since the way closed, and we still can't get even a youth center in North Minneapolis. But every time I go to South Minneapolis, I'm just always amazed at them always building. There's always something new coming into South Minneapolis. Everything looks better south. So I'm just always sad. That's why I think we do most of our boots on the ground work in North Minneapolis, Al, because that's my passion. That's where I went to high school. That's where I graduated high school. That's where I lived when we moved here. That's where I patrolled as a police officer and as a sergeant in the Northside Station. North Minneapolis is my passion. But they have been crapped on for so many years and continue to be crapped on. I don't care who they elect in office. The North Minneapolis area continue to be expendable to elected officials. And that's just a fact. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I have to say what's real and what's true. I don't care who the elected officials are. North Minneapolis has always been crapped on, and that's a community of people who absolutely love, and they get no love in return.
Well, Lisa, talk about a lot of things are happening, and when this pandemic is over, which this could be a year before we really have it all over, we could get it contained. But in the meantime, about the situation where they're going to do budget cuts, we might lose law enforcement officers, firefighters. We might lose, which I think that should be the last thing we lose while we're going through this crisis. But what's your take on the feeling about, the unemployment is going to be high in the African-American community, as it's going to be everywhere. But, if it's single digits in the white community, it doubles in the black community. What's your thinking on what we got to do or be prepared for? And I got Thomas Berry on the line. I'll be talking to him after that. But I just want to say, being that I'm one that knows, hey, we better not cut law enforcement right now. This is the worst time to cut it, but it could happen.
Well, this is what some of them in the council has always looked forward to, but that's because the dead bodies are not being dropped at their front doors or in their parks or in the middle of their streets, or those who are shot and lose a lot of their life or body limbs, that's not happening in their front yard. So they would never care about that anyway. And we always say that we need a community-based solution. But whenever you talk about community, I don't see none of them people that say we need community-based solutions. I just don't see them. I'm not saying they're not out there. You know me, Al. I'm different from you. I applaud any work in the community. But when you cry out, when you make demands with no plans, I can't support you. I cannot get behind anybody who make demands with no plans. And that's what I see so often in the black community. But you saying, what do I think about what we're going to see? I don't think anything about it because I've been seeing it for the last 30 years here. So I think absolutely nothing about it because black people, one thing we are, we're resilient. We make it do what it do with little to nothing because that's what we've always been made to do. The only reason they got this big outcry right now is because white people are starting to feel the pain of what black people have felt for centuries. They now know what it's like to be in a food line trying to get fed. They now know what it's like to not be able to go to the grocery store and you got to now have a list of items you want to get. You can't just go in there and pick up whatever you want. And now you're buying food with no labels on it because now you understand what it feels like to have nothing and still try to make it do what it do. So I don't feel like anything is going to be different in Minneapolis once they open or Minnesota once they open. they going to still have a boot on our throat with social service programs. Next.
And last one, and then I know you'll stay on, and we're going to talk to Brother Thomas Berry with Black Civic Network. But at least one of the things, the Assistant Commissioner Hodges, I talked to him the last couple of days, and he's over there at the legislature, which this is probably going to be the last week to get hearings on things or get something on the table that the governor can react to. Assistant Commissioner Hodges is working on something about just for the summer with the COVID money. That he wants this out to COVID money to go to boots on the ground organizations like a Mother's Love or helping in that area. Then he's asking for $2 million to put into boots on the ground organizations, and I'm just asking, and you know, well, we are, you know, Representative Dean has put forward Bill 2361 for $2 million, but that's separate from what Assistant Commissioner Hodges is asking for. He's asking for it directly out the COVID fund, and Representative Dean and working with Minnesota State Street and Urban League is asking for some for ongoing. So say why we got to continue, why we have to do something now, like Assistant Commissioner Hodges said, and how come we have to be ready after that?
Al, can I say bravo to Assistant Commissioner Booker Hodges, and thank you to Ray Dean, the white man and the black man from the projects of North Minneapolis. Thank you very much. The fact that nobody in this has thought about getting funds to boost on the ground organizations in the communities, not just Minneapolis, the suburbs as well. The fact that nobody in this entire COVID pandemic, this entire shutdown, has come to the realization that you guys are in your houses. Life is still going on in these communities. And you decided to shut down and do everything by your phones without thinking about the people who voted you into those positions. I have not been able to think about anything but that. And I really do, I love a lot of the people who are in elected positions out. I really do, and you know that. But I really think people should really think about casting their votes in upcoming elections. And I will say this, I'll leave a shout out to the Republican leadership, because I've gotten calls from Republican leadership saying, what can we do to help? I have. I've gotten it from Senator Champion. But I've seen nobody put one that I'm really, can I say this, Al? And it may upset people, but I think people know how I am right now. I'm really tired of competing with 70-plus people for $100,000. You get 5, you get 3, you get 12, you get 25. I'm really tired of filling out these packets to get funding when you know people out here doing this work while you're sitting outside inside your house deciding who you like the best. It's hurtful to have to keep competing time after time after time for these little small pots of money. And then I hear you gave this group $4 million. You gave this group $11 million. You gave the money to kill the hogs. It makes my stomach hurt, Al. It really makes my stomach hurt. Every time I drive down Broadway and Lindale, I get mad all over again. From 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, they out there like zombies. I get mad all over again. So I expect them to do exactly what they've been doing for the black community, especially North Minneapolis. Nothing.
Well, I say to the community, and she's saying it absolutely right, about it should be more people fighting on our behalf. I know, you know, I get a ton of my information from Senator Hayden. As Lisa said, she's been working, Senator Champion, have been over there, and they've been over there fighting and fighting for it. But then when they get to fighting, the thing turns to a people of color. It turns to people of color. When we're talking about our issue, it's people of color. When if you go in, if our Hmong brothers go in there, they talk about the Hmong community, the Asian community. If the Latinos go in, they talk about the Latino community. If the Somalis go in, they talk about their community. And we don't have any Native Americans, they talk about their community. All of those talk about their community. But when we go in, it's the people of color game, Lisa.
You know, you're exactly right. And black people need to stop calling themselves people of color. You black, ask for black dollars. Let them keep denying you dollars under black. Stop compromising yourself and being inclusive when everybody else is not inclusive. They don't include us in anything they're doing. But I do shout out and say bravo to the natives, Hispanics, Somali, bravo. Get what your community needs to better your community. You deserve that. You pay taxes for that. So I say that to anybody who's up there asking for funds for their community. What I have a problem with is when it comes to blacks, we begging. I get so sick of hearing black people say, y'all need to quit begging the system. Quit begging the white man. That's our money, too. I pay taxes. I own my home. That's our money, too. You ain't begging. You can't beg for what's yours. You beg for your paycheck after you done worked 40 hours? No, because you earned it. So you can't be begging for what's yours. I get just so, oh, my God. I don't even know why I call into this show, because I just get so angry. And I'm not mad at different organizations. I'm mad at the fact that you think that we can make changes in our community with $5,000 to 20 organizations, with $10,000 to 20 organizations. That's craziness to think that. And my last thing, and this is my last time I'm going to say this, please stop with the criminal justice reform without some community reform to go with it. Please just stop it. You are creating a revolving door by not dealing with the issues in our community first before you make demands. That's what I say, demands with no plans. We are notorious for that in our community. Shout out to my brother Thomas Berry. I'm out.
Hey, no, before you get out, I got one last thing I just want to say about this thing about the Northside, Alicia is putting together her in Central Neighborhood, and she working, y'all trying to support her, Mother's Love trying to support her with the Save the Date of Caravan, Save the Date June 7th in the South Side, June 14th in the North Side, Caravan-style graduation. Although I know they're going to do some things, virtual graduation, but this is something Alicia came up with some of her partners with Central Neighborhood and them to give the kids something. And just wanted your take on just the ideal.
The idea is beautiful, but you know me, I'm not going to speak on it until she's ready for me to speak on it, but I think her idea is a beautiful one. I'm 100% on board. I think, especially for the black community, asking our kids to go through 4 years of high school and not being able to celebrate them publicly, that concerns me. You know, they always say, we want you to be quiet and wait till every name is called when you're at a high school graduation. No. No. For black people, we are so happy and so proud of this accomplishment, this milestone in our kids' lives. So for them to not be able to have a formal graduation, yeah, that's sad. But what she's trying to put together, we, our Mother's Love, will be there 100% to support that. But I'm not comfortable speaking on her whole plan until she's ready to open and roll it out to everybody.
Well, I just wanted you to say that because I just want people to know to save the date, June 7th, and 14th as she's putting together this South Side and North Side Caribbean style graduation celebration. And it's working with everybody. It's working with the schools. It's working with the law enforcement. It's working with the community. It's working with neighborhood organizations. And I hope they pull it out. And that's why I'm saying it right here. If you're on the South Side on June the 7th, she's trying to get, and that's all the South Side high schools. And if you're on the North Side, June 14th, that's all the North Side high schools. Any high school graduate, if you want to be a part of it, you can call. You can go to Alicia at CorcoranNeighborhood.org. You can go to Alicia at CorcoranNeighborhood.org, or you can go to Carmen at the Central Neighborhood .com. Carmen. That's Carmen Means, but you can go to Carmen Means at centralneighborhood.com and be a part of it. And over north the 14th, over south the 7th, and you'll hear more information about it. Seeing that we have May 4th, we got a lot of time to get it together, and the community is behind it. Let me just say thanks to Mother's Love again. And we'll try to see if we can get a last word in, if Lisa's still around, hanging around at the end. But now I'm going to my brother in the struggle, Thomas Berry of Black Civic Network. Him and Brother Nick Muhammad have been doing outstanding work on talking about reparation. And what do that mean? Because a lot of people, when you say reparation, they talk about money. Is that? And I like what they say. It's not about a check. It's about repairing some of the stuff that what Lisa was just talking about. Brother Thomas, are you there?
I am definitely here, Brother Al. I heard Lisa, and shout out back to her and all her work.
And Thomas, you heard a lot. I'm going over the case number, the case numbers in the world today of this coronavirus is over 3,400,000, 244,000 deaths in the world. Over 1.1 million of those cases are in the USA, with 66,000 deaths in the world. And here in Minnesota, we got over 6,600 cases with 419 deaths. Speak on, we got to deal with the virus. And you said something about they exposed a lot of things. I'm going to let you say what's your thinking as we are continuing to fight through this virus. They are starting to open things up, which could be dangerous. If you look down in Georgia, over 80% of the deaths was African-American. In Chicago, 70% of the death was African-American. Milwaukee, these places where we're dying at. So now I'm going to get your take and see if you can respond to some of the things that Lisa was saying and what you're thinking right now. So you can take it how you want to, Brother Berry.
Well, first I want to say, you know, to those families who lost loved ones, I lost a loved one, and, you know, he passed away, my cousin Rudy. Fennessy passed away last week. And, you know, this virus has, you know, like I stated before, exposed a lot of things about this country. One of the things that it exposes while we talk about reparations is the things that has happened in the depth of lack of just resources for African Americans going back to antebellum slavery, right? We're talking about the aspect that our people really were locked out of the healthcare system to begin with. So, you know, if you show up during a pandemic like this to an emergency room, they're going to send you back home or you might not be seen. That happened in a lot of our cases. Also, even inside of Hennepin County or even inside the state, they haven't been tested much in the Black community, right? They only tested 1% of the people. So we still don't know how many people actually have this virus and how many people don't. So when they're opening up and telling people, go back outside and try to resume the normal, hey, we might find ourselves with more cases because really not enough people have been tested, not enough people know whether they've gotten over the virus or the virus is laying dormant in their bodies. And what I'm seeing, people organize kickball tournaments. I just seen on Facebook Live, someone just organized a parade for somebody's mother's birthday, and I've seen like 25 people hug one person, right? Now, what out of those 25 people, how many of them might have the virus and might end up killing that sister? These are the things that we haven't been educated on. To Lisa's point, they haven't spent the money to make sure that we were educated. And these are questions that we ask. You know, BCN asked these things to Ramsey County. Hennepin County is another beast, Al, because as you know, it's hard working with Hennepin County. We have tried to reach out to Hennepin County on several cases. I'm talking about Black Civic Network, and we haven't gotten the hand reached back out to us at all. What we see from Hennepin County, especially inside of North Minneapolis, to Lisa's point, is they would rather watch our people die. They would rather see what they see on Broadway and Lindale and watch those people die. Those people will be purged off the roads. They'll never have to worry about paying for those folks. They'll never have to worry about even giving those folks any proper burial or hospital. They'll just go ahead and do what they did in New York City. You dig a ditch, you put them in some pine boxes, you cover dirt on them, you keep on moving. Meanwhile, you can move in the white yuppie folks from uptown or wherever else to the places over north and never think about these folks. So these are the things that we talk about with reparations, because it's that repair part that the local, the state, the federal government need to do on our behalf. And really, Al, a lot of people, even those people we're talking about on Broadway, just can't afford social distancing. They can't afford it. They can't afford the shelter to be distanced. They can't afford the supplies to go into the store to make sure they have everything to keep themselves safe and out of harm's way. So that's why we talk about it. And one more point to Lisa's point. I want people who listen to this to understand it's not because of a shortage of money. It's because a lot of our people don't have the courage to step up and say, we need the money. We have people in positions who can make decisions to cut checks. They can cut checks to organizations. They can even cut checks to families. What they decide to do is they decide to play political soccer when it comes to our people, and they use expedient excuses to not give to our people. When it comes to other groups of people, whether it's the Hmong community, the Somali community, or even the West African community, to say a few, let's not forget that we do have a high Russian immigrant group here as well inside of the Twin Cities. When it comes to those groups, they make all of the concessions that they possibly can. They make sure that they look out for those folks. And what they tell us, anytime any of our groups step up, Lisa's right. They'll say, hey, here's $100,000, and why don't 20 of you groups fight over this $100,000? We'll give, I heard you talking earlier this week, we'll give several thousands of that dollars to a couple of barbers. We'll give several thousands of those dollars to a couple of freelance people that we've never seen do any of the work. And then when we really need you guys to get out there, we're going to ask you to go do it for free, put your life on the line. And, hey, and if you make it back, we'll shake your hand, maybe give you a certificate or something. But we'll never make sure that we compensate you for the work that you do. And in the flip side of it, then you have people in our community calling folks like that poverty pimps.
Bravo.
And so, Thomas, I'm really concerned, Brother Beery, about what are we going to do here. The food lines are long, sometimes we don't feel like we should get in that line, or we feel some kind of embarrassment about a pandemic that we didn't create. But I'm trying to tell people in our community, and I'm saying African Americans, that my thing ain't against the white community, the Asian, the Hmong, the Somali, no community, Native community, Latino community. It ain't against none of them, but they need to understand that we don't want them to do for us what they've been doing, because it's been unsuccessful. And that's the time.
That's very true. And here's the thing. We love all our people, right? We Black folks, but we definitely love the other people as well. We want to see those people be successful, but we don't want it to be you be successful, and we are the ones that's paying the heavier price for your success. We don't want to see you moving in our communities, exposing us, having corner stores in our community while selling heroin and then impregnating our young girls, right? And we have that when we talk about our air community. We have that in some cases where we have people move inside of our communities and disrespect our families all the time, and they use us. What we're saying simply is that we want our justice. We want what's been owed to us. And one of the sad things that I feel like a lot of people aren't paying attention to, Allie, you keep bringing this up. I think that people don't get that if they're saying it's going to be a 30% unemployment rate for white folks, that means it's going to be 60 to 75% of unemployment rate for African-Americans when this is over. We're always last hired, first fired. And one of the things that we're working on right now is what we call a restorative justice bill. But we're going to be asking for some of these things to cover some of these gaps, and we're going to be asking the state of Minnesota that we're not asking for millions. We're going to be asking for billions. For our people, we got to start planning, we got to start structuring, we got to get things in place, whether it's housing, whether it's food, or what have you. And I agree with you about the thing about the pigs. Most of our people stopped eating pork a long time ago to begin with, that's one. And secondly, I don't believe that pigs are more important than people. We can do with the pigs not being here. We can't do with the people not being here. So when you hear people make an argument and say, hey, man, these pig farmers, well, listen, I know capitalism is a beautiful thing, but you need the people of the democracy to make the capitalism go. So you can't sacrifice the people for the capitalism. So I believe when we come out of here, we got 2 weeks. I think we, as a people, we should be organizing as much as possible and demanding steps. I don't think that we should leave out of here without demands. I was on that call with Mayor Carter and some of the people in St. Paul. And one of the things that I will point out to is there wasn't no plan. There was just a meeting to put together another group, a bunch of groups, to meet on some other things. And my thing is, we got to stop being scared to make a decision. Everyone has the data. Anytime you talk to anyone on the city or the county level, or even the state level, they know all of the data. They know where all the holes are. They also know how much it'll cost to fix those holes. Instead of having meetings about those things, man, cut the dang check. If you can just cut the check, come. The plans are already there. Plenty of people have plans. Al, I've talked to you. I've seen some of your plans. They can sit down with you. They can sit down with a bunch of other people in the community. Come up with a plan and just cut the check. Don't cut us no punk check. Don't cut us no weak check. Treat us like you should have been treating us the entire time. And what they will see, just like what they would do if these people die, if they allowed us to get on our feet by giving us what we pay into the system, we would be able to get off their roads, and we would cost them less money than what it would cost them now to ignore us.
Thomas, I'm still trying to figure out here's the situation where you talked about the unemployment, the number 30% in the white community, that means it's going to double in ours. You're talking about cutting law enforcement. You're talking about cutting law enforcement at a time when this could hurt just our community. We got a community that's when they all come out. When the police send some, that's when they come out. And we're the community that might need law enforcement more than any other community. So how do we take that situation? Because I really am, when I'm talking as an activist, I'm concerned about what's going to happen in the coming months with people suffering. With no resources, no job. It just ain't hit yet, but it's coming.
Well, Brother Al, it's just like what we're talking about with this virus. What they're pretty much doing is telling us that, hey, you fend for yourself, and if you make it, you make it, and if you don't, you don't. You don't create a situation where people are desperate, then you take away the parameters of where they can be protected, away from them, right? Because at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen. If you cut police at this point, those who got guns, who have nothing, will rob, shoot, and kill. And they will take. They know behavioral science. They know exactly how this thing is about to happen. We're on the cusp of the summer. We know in every metropolitan, in the summertime, crime typically goes up. We're talking about coming into the summer on the back ends of people being cooped up in the house for a long period of time. We have unemployment. We're having people who have some anxiety issues because they haven't been around people for a period of time. We have people who have a lot of other stressors because rent is due as well, right? We're talking about people who don't even have money to pay rent. So if you don't have rent money, you don't have you have this anxiety, the first thing, unfortunately, that some folks will resort to will be violence. So you definitely need the police department on the streets. The only time you can talk about reducing police departments in any community is that you have to make sure that everybody is economically sound. That means that there's enough employment. Not only is there enough employment, but people are making wages that are able to support themselves to where they live comfortable, and you don't have a large population that is underserved. If you don't have those things in place, you cannot cut the police department because you're going to end up is going to be create the strongest survive model. And you'll start seeing people load up with guns. You start seeing people getting gunned down on the streets. And then what do? And you're going to come back and then you're going to overpopulate the community because you decided to cut the police. So you have to do all of these things have to be measured properly. You don't need to punish our community because of this pandemic. And that's one of the things in this country that always happens. Anytime there's a pandemic, we always end up becoming the face of it, and then we're always the ones that have to bear the brunt of the pandemic. So you're going to underpolice us, and then on top of underpolice us, you're not going to have the resources in our community. So you're going to watch us kill each other, and then you're going to turn around and send everybody with guns blazing back in, and then we'll start getting more innocent people who will be murdered, not only by the people, the hoods in the streets, but also by the police that will be figuring they're coming in to save the day.
Hey, and I don't know, is Lisa still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Al, can I say a couple of things? Thomas hit on some stuff. When we're talking about, now I want you to remember all those city council meetings that we went to, or city council shutdowns is a better term. When we went to those, what was the thing they talked about? Community-based solutions. We want money for community-based solutions. So now that the police department have gone into just reactive mode because they aren't proactive right now because of COVID-19. So now that they went into reactive mode, there's still no funds going into community-based solutions from the city on a level that could really impact some of what we have happened in the community. So I've always believed that when people say community-based solutions, that's just some empty words to me. Because if you don't put the dollars behind it, that's just empty words. And then when you talk about funding in the community, and Thomas is exactly right. This is not the time to talk about freezing hires in the Minneapolis Police Department or not hiring for the next 3 years. This is just not the time after you've left us out there starving and to fend for ourselves. And you think that crime is not going to go up? It's already gone up, Al. I posted the stats on my Facebook page. It is going up because there's nothing out there for them. But let me just say this last thing. I'm big on issuing challenges to people. I issued a challenge to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar to come out in the community, put her boots on the ground, and see what we're doing out here in the absence of our elected officials out here, what the community and the churches, you know, all the boots on the ground are doing out here to take care of the constituency that voted them in. So she took my challenge. I was shocked. She took my challenge within a day. So she will be with us at New Salem Church on Monday to help see what we do when we're preparing meals, getting them ready to deliver, and delivering them. So she took my challenge. So here's my last challenge. And I'm going to make my challenge to Leslie Redman of the NAACP, the president of Minneapolis, and to Fahil Jordan over in St. Paul. The city writes their grants off the most impoverished neighborhoods. They get all the funds off of all of our violence, all of our pain, and all of our trauma. So I'm asking those two women as the head of the black organization to ask for copies of the last 5 years of funding requests made by the city to see what they used to get those funds. Because you and I both know, Al, you have to have an impoverished area to get these state and federal funds. So we need to see which areas they used, what categories they used, and then find out where that money went when they got it. So I'm issuing that challenge to our two leaders of the NAACP, and I think they need to come back with a report to the community to let us know, because we talk about education with our kids and how far behind. How many times are you going to tell us about disparity? We already know. Mm. But you're using those numbers to get funds, and we have a right as a community of people to know how much you've gotten over the last 5 years and where you've spent it. So that's my challenge to them.
And dear, let me say, as we moving on, and I only got like about 8 minutes left, but I got a lot of questions. You ducked a lot because this is. This is something I want to as Thomas, you heard what Lisa just said, then that concern about, and here's something I've been saying every day, that they just don't care about African American, ADOS, descendants of the slave. It's real. And it's something I told to our Attorney General Ellison, how they maneuver with the resources when it comes to us. We all, it's like we are big, and I'm getting to it to say, and I say this, I keep saying it. They, Mayor Fry gave $5 million to make sure the undocumented community was all right. If we ask for the, I've said, give us the same $5 million. We, I don't care what, how we do it, and let us begin the work on our community. But if they don't care, it doesn't matter what we saying. We have to fight in different ways. I don't. It's just us asking, Thomas. Go at that.
Well, I would say, man, we need to get push some of the punk leadership out the way. And when I'm talking about the punk leadership, I'm talking about the leadership who know that the issues are at play, they meet in secret, and then they get all the money up under the table and watch the rest of us struggle. We got to get rid of these folks, and we got to start calling them out. We also, I like Lisa's point of asking NAACP in St. Paul and Minneapolis to request those things. And I wrote them down, Lisa, and if they won't do it, Black Civic Network, we would definitely ask for those things. My biggest issue about the NAACP is that, you know, it used to be at one point of time in this city, we're talking about Minneapolis, that the NAACP, when their name was mentioned, it was fear at City Hall. It was fear at the state capitol. Do you see that fear now? We need to get that fear back. And I'm not blaming Ms. Redmond for it. I'm not blaming Sister Thea for it either. I'm just saying we need to get it back one way or another. And we need to talk about those folks who are out here living day-to-day lives and bringing them into the NAACP pool, as well as filing lawsuits against the city for things like what we saw with the $5 million to the undocumented immigrant group. And we all sat in the meeting with that mayor with his clammy hands and everything else, and he was sitting there acting like he couldn't even talk about $200,000, Brother Al. Now, how did you find $5 million for $200,000 was such a hard hurdle for him to jump? So these are the reasons why we need to understand real quick that we should demand highly of these folks all the time. We also need to be making sure that if you're getting money on the behalf of our community, that is going to our community, or you can't get another dollar. We can't allow you to get another cent. $28,000 for you to put out anything for a state-run organization is some straight-up chump change, and only a chump would accept it. They should have wrote the check back to them and told them to keep it, period. But yep. That's only because people are not kicking them in the meantime and making them come with it. You got to come with it or get lost.
Amen. I like your question, the challenge to them, and I'm almost sure Farhia, all you got to do is ask her, and she will have that. Just let's get it to her, and I'm sure Leslie, let's make sure that we get that. That was a challenge there, that to ask back, because that and then Black Civic Network, I think we can get that done there. So I want to say that, and I got a few minutes left, so I want to save a minute for Lisa and Thomas to close us out. But I have to go over the numbers one more time, because that's why we started this. And I want you to know, on every Tuesday now, Tuesday from 6 to 7, might go a little bit over. From 6 to 7, we're going to have conversations then with guests like Mother's Love, Lisa Clemens, and guests like Thomas Berry with Black Civic, and guests with, you know, Al Jr. and Tony McMorris and all the rest of them, Alicia, and then we'll have Monica Love, everybody. I just want you to know that. But I'm going to throw the numbers one more time. Around the world, 3,400,000 cases around the world, 244,000 deaths around the world, and of that 3 million cases in the world, 1,134,000 of that is in the U.S. with 66,000 deaths. And I always want to keep reminding people that in January and February, the president said, we ain't got no problem. We don't have no problem. from March 1st to right now here May 3rd, we got 66,000 deaths after he said there was no problem. We must not let him play like this and happen. I've been watching politics all my life. I know what I know what's happening. So 66,515 deaths. The Democrats. We wonder whether Democrats they was probably asleep at the wheel going after the impeachment. And this is where we at. We end up at 6,000 cases in Minnesota, 6,600 with over 419 deaths. So it's still going. And I want to tell the community we're still fighting. That's what we're talking to Lisa and Thomas about. Remember I said $317 million came in. I thought Hennepin County and Ramsey County both got it, but they had to split that, so they only got $158 million apiece, plus whatever money they got from state government. And we got to follow that trail. And the sad thing about it, we just say African Americans didn't get a dime, but we continue to work. And that's what I talk about when we talk about continuing to work. I think about the caravans that's going, talking about celebrating our kids' graduation. Alicia and Carmen with Corcoran and Central Neighborhood came to put this together. They're going to work with a Mother's Love. A Mother's Love says, she'll say something once they get it all the way out, what they want them to do and help with this. So on June 7th in South Minneapolis, June 14th in North, you'll hear more about that from from these platforms that we're using. And as I close out, at least I got a couple of minutes. Anything you want to say to the community about keeping their keeping their faith in this time of social distancing that is really not working like that. But I think we did pretty good so far, but we're going to have a harder time. But, yes, any last words on that?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody to stay prayed up, wear those masks. We keep getting conflicting information. I'm not listening to anybody because you already know when you sneeze and when you cough, you spray. So cover your mouth, cover your nose. That's the smallest amount of safety that you could give to yourself and to your family. And I'm reissuing my challenge to the NAACP presidents in Minneapolis and St. Paul to ask for 5 years of grant writing from the city in St. Paul and Minneapolis to see what they requested, what they used for those requests, and what they said they were going to spend the money on and what they actually spent it on. I think it's time for our leaders to start giving us a report card on the funds that's coming into these cities and let us know what the state gave. We need to know. We really do, Al. We need to know. And last thing, to anybody black that's in an organization, that's running an organization, that's in charge of the funding, please stop, pause, and listen. If we don't have a plan, you need to pull us together in a room and say, hey, I like this, I like that, but I need y'all to come together somewhere so we can maximize the funds that are coming out into our community. Shout out to anybody black that's out there trying to do us right.
Hey, Brother Thomas, she took up all the time, but you still get your last word.
Okay, I just wanted to say to the Boulay, Monitors, Divine Nine, Street Gangs, 501c3s, families, or individuals who are African American or ADOS, it's just time to come together. We got to love one another and hold tight in this situation. We have to really do what our ancestors lifted us up to do. We need to get what's owed to us, and we also need to bring this country to the greatness that it's supposed to be. We have to make them live up to the reputation of the country, and we have to become the moral compass once again. We cannot do this as individuals. It can't be no get-rich-quick schemes. It's going to take us collectively putting the family, religious institutions, and organizations back together, and it's going to take us holding hands, walking lockstep, and fighting for each other, and having each other's back every step of the way. We got to get our sellouts out of the way. Let's throw them all up under the bus and run them over and not think twice about it. But let's get this going. This is not just a crisis. This is an opportunity to get it right.
Hey, I love it. I want to thank Lisa Clemens with Mother Love Initiative. I want to thank Thomas Berry with Black Civic Network. I want to always thank my partners in this endeavor, A.J. Al Jr., who's always, you know, that's my sounding board. But I also want to definitely thank Alicia Smith for putting this together about this caravan and everything else she do while she's doing her job. She's still doing stuff in our community. We'll see you on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We'll get some information out about it. Here we come. We're going to bring you the information on both ends, community and solutions. We'll see you next time.